Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. It's Friday. It's that day of the week to get ready to go. And, of course, we got football this weekend and we got everything going on. But I wanted to continue to share with you the interview I did during the week with Backpack and Yoda on their show. I think, obviously, a lot of good facts, a lot of good points. But let's get back to that interview right now. Me with Backpack and Yoda. Here we go.
We try to look at all the perspectives and all these situations that are going on. We're seeing the market showing historic lows in the beginning of a new year. One of the questions we got from a fan in Seattle, Washington, a couple questions that they have. One is, if China just continues to plummet, let's say their market goes down 80%, how much will that drag down the U.S. stock market? The second question is, they're a historian, and they look back at 1929 when the market was the Great Depression at the time, and only 2% of Americans owned stock. But now about 50% or so Americans own stock through IRA or other vehicles like that. So that's a two-part question. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think China probably will continue to plunge, and we will plunge far with China for a little bit, but China is plunging based more on the commodity space, which is crumbling. Dr. Copper, as they call it, gold, food, grains. So their economy is built more on manufacturing and using commodities, which are both collapsing. So we will participate with them in a little bit, but eventually, again, our markets will find a true level. And remember, if a market or something is collapsing somewhere, that big money is looking for somewhere to go, and typically it will end up with the U.S. Remember, in the biggest times of strife, money goes to the U.S. dollar and the U.S. treasury bonds. So if we get into that position, there will be money will flow here from other places that will be coming out of China as they panic and puke their way out, and they will be looking to put that money somewhere. So our markets will react to a certain point, and not that we're not going to go a lot lower, which I believe that we are, but initially it will not be because of China. It will be because our own fundamentals that we talked about, that the house of cards, the lack of growth. I mean, because we've got no jobs that are worth anything. We've got no growth. They've lied for the last 7 years about the growing economy, but all they allowed to happen was for big companies to buy back their stock, to take care of their own debt, and to buy other companies, merger and acquisition, and then invert out of the country and take the money with them, because again, our leaders will not make a deal with these guys in the tax bases. So we'd rather have nothing than get money. But eventually our markets will come back, and then the average stock guy. Now, that's a great question, because I'm not sure if it's 50%, but whatever the number is, if you're an investor, the markets will recover eventually. I mean, the markets in history go up 9% year over year. Now, I personally hedge my portfolio, and I teach people how to hedge their portfolios so that not only are they not at risk when the markets go down, but they actually make money when the markets go down, because their balance turns into cash. And what they do is they take that cash and they reinvest it back into the market. So they're actually compounding, creating an endowment model on their own. So they're not at risk when the markets go down. In fact, actually, they kind of cheer a little bit when the markets go down, because it allows them to buy more stock and get a lower basis. But the average guy, if he's older, average woman, if they're older, they got a problem, because again, they don't have the time to wait for the market to recover. If you're younger, you've got time. But again, I believe that anybody should learn how to hedge their portfolio and save themselves the grief and aggravation, actually make more money by benefiting from when markets do this, because markets do this every, you know, 6 or 7 years, 5 years. It happens all the time.
I'm older than a rock, as everybody knows. I was with Julius Caesar when he was a corporal. Backpack, on the other hand, is kind of looking at 50. what should Backpack and the hypothetical backpacks be doing now?
The hypothetical backpacks and backpacks should be looking, you know, if they have money to invest, they should be looking into certain areas of the stock market. I do believe, and I'm a fan of, A, being hedged all the time, but if you don't understand that or don't want to do that, I think that you should be looking at the commodity space because we are on 18-year lows in commodities. I would look to buy some of the stocks that represent the commodity space. You know, just for example, a U.S. Steel, it's $7 right now. Something like that, I believe that you should look at the natural resources. I think energy is a play. So any rig Transocean, which is rig RIG, is about $10 or $11 or $12 right now. Those are good companies that I do not believe are going out of business that I believe you can invest in because I think they've already seen the brunt of where we're going to go because a lot of these oil and basic material stocks already collapsed because of the commodities. You know, that's tied to Caterpillar and Deere. Because, you know, you guys understand how much trouble the farmers are in right now because they're not making any money. And in fact, for them to sell their crops right now, they'd have to lose money to sell crops. That's creating another disaster impending.
After your last appearance, we had a couple questions. Define a hedge for us for our blue-collar friends.
Okay, well, there's a number of different ways to hedge, and there are what they call hedge funds. Hedge funds are not hedging your portfolio. Hedge funds are more of what we would call gamblers that take big positions in illiquid stocks or in illiquid things and look to make big money out of little money. But hedging, true hedges, are ways to protect your portfolio to the downside. Now, some people have done them in their life through covered calls, which is they sell an option against their position, which is really not a hedge. It does help enhance yield. Some people, what they do is they buy puts, which is a put option is the right to sell, which is a better strategy than doing nothing, but not a very good strategy overall because eventually what they call the premium will eat you alive. What I do is I create a synthetic hedge, which is I can box off your money. So if you had $100,000 invested, I can box off the $100,000 where you could still benefit to the upside, but if the market went down, you might lose 1% or 2%. But if the market went up, you would make, you know, dollar for dollar basically on the way up. You could be in that position. And that's the position that I recommend people do for themselves. But that's known as hedging. That's hedging your bet, keeping yourself secure. It's like buying insurance. That's a better example. You're buying insurance that, in this case, you don't have to pay a premium. You can beat the premium if you know what you're doing eventually, but you are buying it. You are insuring against damage to your portfolio, which is we all would like to do that if we knew how to do it.
Love that.
A former USA headquartered Pfizer Pharmaceutical Corporation just relocated to Ireland because of the 0% tax on the corporate rate. Do you see more U.S. Headquartered companies moving out of here to other countries?
Oh, yeah. This is the problem. That's called inversion. Okay. And the problem, here's the biggest problem. Okay. Our government, again, back to that problem, is they refuse to cut a break. Apple, for example, has, I don't know, $25 or $50 billion or more in an account out of the country, which if the United States would make them a deal, they'd bring that money back in and put people to work here, but because they won't. So yes, companies are going out like crazy. And I got to say one thing, the biggest offender that pisses me off more than anything is Mr. Warren Buffett, who made this big speech. You know, he's always talking because he got so much money, he didn't care. You know, we should pay more taxes, but he made a big speech about this inversion. And what did he do 2 weeks later? He went out and bought Tim Hortons in Canada so he could invert his own money. So you tell me. And of course, you tell me what you think about our good friend, the genius who does things that, you know, suit his own. But of course, that in itself is one of the problems in the political system. Make sure you go check out BubbaTrading.com. Check out our hedging program. Also, on demand every day is this show at LibertyTalk.fm. Make sure you check it out. Check out LibertyTalk.fm. A lot of great stuff, a lot of great shows. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back with Yoda and Backpack after the break.
Love runs high in this time.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Here we are. We're going to get back with Backpacking Yoda as we talk about some of the other topics of the world. Here we go. Let's get back to them.
Yeah, speaking of Warren Buffett, we just heard about, we're here on Voice of Global Freedom, we're in favor of the Keystone Pipeline, which keeps getting blocked in Congress, but Warren Buffett controls a lot of the trains in that area, and he can make something like $30, $40 a barrel traveling through trains, and it'll actually cost $10 if we get this pipeline going, $10 per barrel. So have you seen some of that, what he's doing with trying to monopolize all those trains?
Well, again, this goes back to, it's amazing how we keep coming back to the government, okay? You know, these guys, the problem with these jackasses is they donate so much money, they actually buy control. Of course the pipeline would be the best idea. I mean, who was kidding who? But Warren Buffett, you know, 10 years ago, bought up all the railroads, okay? So he's got control, he's got the money. And he continues in the ears of the politicians, making sure that this Keystone Pipeline doesn't get done. Do you realize what a boom it would be for our economy and how many workers would go to work if they would build this pipeline?
Yeah, that's right. It'd be a huge help for all Americans to build a pipeline. Plus, it's much safer to move oil through pipes versus trains, and it's much more cost efficient.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. But of course, again, this is a political move. That, you know, why should Warren Buffett give up his money that he's making? He's making billions of dollars. Why shouldn't we put to work 50,000 or 100,000 people making good money and then put all the steel companies and everything else back on the map and start using commodities? That would make absolutely no sense in this country.
Yeah, that's right. It's you know, we always like to ask this question on Voice of the Global Freedom. We're here with Todd Bubba Horwitz, thebubbashow.org. If we had a magic wand we could give you and you could make changes to the stock markets and other areas, what would your magic wand do?
Well, I think obviously if I had a magic wand, the first thing I would do is I would reduce the size of government. Okay, that would be the first thing that I would do. We're so overregulated. It's so sad what we had that our four founding fathers must be rolling over in their grave every single day because we've become so big and so regulated that you can't get anything done. And that goes down to the banking, the Dodd-Frank Act, which prevents banks from lending money. It's a brutal thing. You gotta decrease the size of the government. You have to reestablish, if you want a Federal Reserve, it has to be reestablished as truly a private organization, not one that is owned by JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs and partially by the government, although they never admit it. In my opinion, again, I don't have facts of this, but in my opinion, it's a governmentally controlled organization, even though they're supposed to be independent of the government. They've caused more trouble over the years because of the way of economic theory you mentioned a little while ago about 1929. John Maynard Keynes, who our whole economy system is based on, the Keynesian theory, said in 1928, we will have no more stock market crashes in our time. Well, I guess he only missed by 10 or 12. So smaller government, you got to, if you're going to regulate, you have to regulate properly, not over-regulate. And if you're going to have a federal bank or a central banking system, it needs to be truly independent from the government and from private industry so that it, instead of Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke and every other one of those people that only know how to read but have no idea of fundamental business and how business really works when it's under heat, then I think it would be fine, and I think we'd have no problems if we did that.
You're a hell of a historian. Our audience enjoyed your last appearance about recession history. How often does a true spot-on recession come along? Do you happen to know?
Well, I don't know the numbers are there, but I can tell you this, okay? The middle class is still in recession from 2007. Okay, they can talk that BS on TV all they want about how we're out of recession. Middle America has been reduced by about 20%, and every one of us middle class Americans are in a recession because we're making less money, we're paying more for goods and services. But recessions, I think, are something like every 7 to 10 years. I think, but that's purely a guess. I don't have that fact. I don't carry.
I'm not into terms or labels, but how often does a depression come along?
That's really hard to define. I mean, they've basically really only defined, you know, one depression, you know, 1929. But I think that really depends on how you want to define it. You know, the funny thing about economists is they won't admit a bubble, you know, an asset bubble. Like right now, we have an asset bubble. That's one of the reasons the markets are selling off. And the economists, they won't admit that it's an asset bubble. So what that means, now, I guarantee you, when you and I are long gone, Yoda, because Backpack will outlive us both, when we're long gone, the historians will write about this period of time, and they'll say, you know, that was a bubble, because do you know that auto and student loan debt have just surpassed $2 trillion, which is bigger than the housing bubble?
Wow. A depression is when you get laid off.
I would be very depressed if I got laid off. Thank God I work for myself.
Yeah. And socialism is equal sharing of misery, lots of misery. As we head into 2016, it's been great having Todd Bubba Horowitz with the BubbaShow.org on Voice of the Global Freedom. What are some of the things you got going on in 2016, and how can our audience find you?
Well, it's great to ask. The audience can find me at the BubbaShow.org or BubbaTrading.com, either one, they go to the same place. We've got some very dynamic programs to help the independent trader or investor learn better and get the education that they need. I do a lot of webinars to help get people situated. I'm a big believer in education, as you guys know, and believe it or not, my investing program is now in 100 high schools. And we're looking to go to 1,000 high schools in 2016, and looking to go nationwide, because again, I'm a big believer in financial literacy, and I really believe that everybody needs to take the time to understand little things like that. So, but come to BubbaTrading.com or the BubbaShow.org, and you know, listen to the show. You'll see that we're out trying to help, and really, again, I'm all for America. I love America. I love Americans. And I just want a better society where everybody has an equal and fair chance to do the same thing versus some of the things that happen right now.
We are proud of you with that high school program. Spend a few seconds and explain that a little bit.
Well, I wrote a book, which, by the way, your listeners can have for free. It just has to pay for shipping and handling, which is $9.95. But I wrote a book that's at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Bubba's Guide to Trading Options. But I wrote it in such a way, like almost like a textbook. And I was showing this to somebody, and somebody said, you know, this should be in a university. And I said, I can't deal with those professors. They're too hard to deal with. They drive me crazy. I said, let me go to the high school level. And at the time, my daughter was playing softball. She was played varsity softball as a freshman. And I was sitting next to the superintendent, who she was watching a game. We started talking, and she said, if you can get the business teacher to agree, we'll try the program out. So I got to experiment with it with the teacher. And it became a big hit. But what it is, it's about teaching kids. We start out with credit cards and credit scores. And we get into checking accounts. And then we talk a little bit about insurance and all the normal things. But then we actually teach them how to trade and how to understand. You know, because some people will trade themselves. Some people will have somebody invest their money for them. And what I want people to understand is if you don't understand, if you have somebody invest your money, that's great, but take the time to learn so you know what your guy is doing for you. Because one of the problems with money managers and financial guys that take your money is they don't care about you once they get your money. Nobody cares about as much about your money as you do. They just need the money because that's how they make their money. They get paid the fees, but they don't really care what the market does once they got it, because they're getting paid. So I want people to at least understand what somebody's doing within their portfolio so they can recognize the ability to get out in times of trouble, or at least to learn how to hedge their portfolio if they don't want to get out. And that's what the financial literacy is about. And then I try to teach that to young kids so that they know right away, so as they're growing up, that they are prepared for the future life.
Our hats off to you. You're doing good. A schoolroom is four walls with the future inside, somebody said. Yeah. Great having you on, Bubba. We got to get you on more often. If you will, call in Saturdays, please, when you get time, because we need updates for our audience. You're a great guy to work with, and you provide a great show for us. We're in your debt, brother.
I love you. I love you guys. You're good. Happy New Year. It's always great to be here. And that was fun. Always enjoyable to be with my friends who get a lot of great guests, Voice of Global Freedom. But we're going to step out of here for a break, and we're going to come back in a little bit here. But you got Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm. Also, make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com. Check out the hedging program. Check out everything I'm telling you. It's for your best interest. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Warwick will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And how'd you like my buddies, Yoda and Backpack? Always a lot of fun. Always bring up a lot of good topics. They're great to be with. And, you know, I like their audience, and I like what they do, because it's kind of like us. It's just clean and simple, you know, to what we're doing. I just like the way they just present things. It's, you know, nothing held back, and I believe in that, as you know, because I had nothing held back. So a lot of fun. But what do you think of these markets? How about that wacko move yesterday? Now, you know, for you technicians, or for you guys who trade or like to trade, take a look at what happened. The entire move for the day happened in 16 minutes. Okay, about 9:02, I think it was 10:02 Eastern time, you had the move of a gazillion points. It was almost 400 points basically in 16 minutes. Now think about that. Now this is what I've been talking about for a long time. Is we're going to get those rip your face off rallies, and this was a rip your face off rally that appeared on Thursday. That again, you're looking for now to be a seller of that rally. You're looking at the 1940 level in the S&P as a potential spot to sell. These are things that we constantly look at, okay, as technical traders, okay, because that's the importance, that we look for to find opportunity, because opportunity always knocks. That you have the opportunity, to make money. So you have to be in the right position to make money, and that's what you're looking for. So this was a great opportunity to look at, and it may work, it may not work. But again, I do believe the overall top of the market is in. So I'm certainly convinced that it's the right trade. But it's something that you learn and you watch. Because the question you always ask yourself is, what made the market worth 400 more points at 10 Eastern versus 9 Eastern or 9:30 Eastern, right? What made it worth 400 more points? And not to lead the bulls out, but what made it worth 1,600 less this year? You know, what fundamentally has changed? This is why we don't give a rat's ass about the fundamentals. Because fundamentally, the market has sucked for, I'd say years almost. Okay? So fundamentally, the fundamentals are terrible. So what would you, what you can't go on that. So what made the market first worth 1,500 or 1,600 points less, and then what it made all of a sudden worth, 400 more? And again, the answer is technical traders. The answer is people pounded, they laid in, they got short, made money. And then at the end, the latecomers who tried to pound it down, and if you notice, they tried to pound it down yesterday, and the latecomers, of course, got the old, what we call the short squeezeroo, and they got it stuck to them. But it's no different in any other product. But what you want to think about, remember we talked the other day about trading being a learned skill, okay? The skill is very important because it teaches you these little things, these little quirks, so you don't get, oh my God, why? What a great rally. Because if you learn how to look at it, it's not such a good rally, okay? That's what you're talking about. Okay, when you look at a market and you're diagnosing what's going on, those are the types of things we're looking for. Because again, the skill that we are learning is exactly just that. It's a skill. So understanding that, yesterday I did oil reports for Fox. Okay. Now, they want me to talk technically, not fundamentally. And I said, I can't do that. It's not in my nature to tell a fib, as they say. And not that fundamentals are fibs, but fundamentals are not real to the market. In fact, I tweeted out yesterday, okay, hold on, I'm going to find this for you, but it's interesting because this is going to sum it up in a nutshell for you, because I get so angry when I'm listening, because I always listen because I'm on, and I get so angry that I start yelling back, basically. and so I wrote back. I'm just trying to find it. But I just find it interesting, okay, because it's not right when they keep talking, for example, about oil, okay? And I can't find it, so I'm not going to waste any time. But why do we care about oil? Oil does not have a direct correlation to the market. Okay. Will not. Okay. Oh, here. Oil stocks should be up. They have been beaten to death. All asset classes are entitled to a dead cat bounce. Oil stocks not coupled. Oil was up yesterday. Market's down. That was my text yesterday. The markets are in trouble. Oil is near the bottom. Okay. Saudi and Mideast, the non-factor in oil, Brent WTI spread has collapsed. Okay. Now think about that. If you know anything about oil market, Brent used to be at about 20% or $20 premium to West Texas Intermediate, WTI. Now it's under some days. What does that mean? You do realize, I hope, that we don't need oil from the Mideast. In fact, if you 2 years ago, if we had trouble in the Mideast, oil would be skyrocketing. But what did it tell you when there was a direct problem in the Middle East? It didn't bother anybody. Oil didn't move one drop. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Because we have enough of our own oil. We don't have to worry about it. We've got oil ready to go. Okay. So that is the difference, which is why oil is hanging around and languishing down here at low levels. But I will tell you this, okay? You saw the rally in the stock market yesterday. There will be a similar rally in oil just like that. Now, whether or not it's going to continue to go, that is always the key question. Is this a true bottom or is it just the bottom where it's resting and you get one big juicy bounce? They screw everybody to get them out, and then it heads back down into the direction that it was going, which is trending lower. Now, I find it hard to believe that as low as it is, that it's going much lower. Now, again, it could go lower, and I'm not saying, well, listen, if anybody remembers, it was $9 at one time, right? So it's not like it couldn't go there. I'm not from that school. I don't subscribe to that. I think when you look around and you look at the commodity sector, okay, which oil is part of it, and you see it down on 18-year lows, okay, to me, that is not the time that I want to start selling products, okay? I'm not really interested in selling at 18. That might go to 50-year lows. Again, that's the issue. That's the rub. I can't tell you that it's not going to go lower, but probability, okay? We talk a lot about the probability, okay? No. Although we don't think it'll go lower, what if it does? Well, but the probabilities are very low because that's just the numbers, how the numbers work out. So that's why I'm willing to step in there and buy, and why I wouldn't sell, because the probability suggests that at worst case, it is a monster rally to squeeze out all the shorts. Because one thing we know about Mr. Market or Mrs. Market, okay, is they're never going to hand it to you. Okay, everybody is on the same side of the equation here. There's very few buyers in the oil market, which only indicates that there's going to be a major bounce. You take into consideration that oil a year from now is at a 20% premium or higher than today. You take into consideration that the weather has been unseasonably warm. You take into consideration that the economy absolutely sucks. Okay. And lastly, you take into consideration that the U.S. dollar is so strong, which is what causes the rift in these commodities. So it's not that the commodities have changed. They've really only changed because of the manipulation of the dollar. Think about that for a minute. Okay. The only reason things have changed is from the manipulation of the dollar, not because of the commodity space, not because they all of them became worthless. They became worthless because the dollar is too strong and people can't buy it. Okay. That's why we've got it. That's why gold is lower. That's why oil is lower. That's why everything is lower. It's all directly correlated to the dollar. That is the difference of when you're using a fiat currency. You have a direct correlation to another product, keeping the market from expanding. Okay? So it's just something that you should think about and that you should know the next time you look. Because again, this is a skill that you can learn. Okay? It doesn't mean you're going to be a professional, but if you just learn it, and that's always my issue. I urge everybody to learn it just for yourself. Even if you have somebody else watching your money, know what they're doing. Have a feel for it. You know, it's a good exercise. It'll keep you from, it'll keep your mind sharp. Okay. Or as my friend Strother Martin said to Paul Newman, you got to get your mind right, Luke. Okay. At least we'll get you thinking about it. Again, you don't have to be active, but isn't it better to at least know something when somebody's handling your money? You know, that's why I like to teach the hedging program. I mean, that's my number one product, because everybody wants to hedge because they realize the problems. And of course it works because it's designed properly and it mathematically works. Check it out at BubbaTrading.com or at TheBubbaShow.org. You miss a show, LibertyTalk.fm. Go there, check it out. In the meantime, I'm going to step out for a break. I'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Top of the world. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's my pleasure to bring in a brand new member of the team. We have decided to go to some youth because we know a lot of you guys out there are a lot younger than me, and we decided that we needed to bring in a heavy hitter, somebody I've known for about 7 or 8 years that used to actually do some writing for me. Went to college where my daughter goes, been trading for 10 years. It's our new guy. A new member of the Bubba team, Brett Rosenthal. What's up, Brett, and welcome aboard.
Not much. Definitely not crude oil. Crude oil is not up. What's going on today? I'm looking at the market. Finally, we're up a little bit, but Nothing too much to write home about. What's going on with you, Todd?
Not much, man. So, you know, we've got, obviously, we got some great plans. We got some great things working on, and you're going to bring, you know, a lot of excitement to the company. You know, you've got a lot of innovations. You've already done a great job, you know, reformatting and rebuilding the high school program. And, you know, I think that works out great. And what do you got? I know you got something special in store. What do you think? What's in your mind right now? What are we going to do? I know we got something new coming up. What are we going to do, big boy?
Yeah, I mean, something we're looking at is, you know, kind of bringing the old school back a little bit. I mean, when I first got involved with trading as a young guy, got to be a runner, got to be a clerk, got to be around the floor and kind of learn from veterans, learn from other guys around me. And so something that I've missed being a screen trader and me and all my friends just sticking our faces in our iPhones all the time, I kind of miss that camaraderie. I miss that, you know, brotherhood that pretty much helped elevate each other's profits and successes when trading kind of came to Chicago. So something we're looking at bringing is somewhat of a Bubba's After Hour trading pick concept where we can bring the pits back and you know, create a platform and create a place for traders to come together, meet veterans, meet young guys, you know, share ideas. And I think it's going to be a great thing for a lot of the guys, whether you're upper money or down money. You know, it gets lonely sitting alone all day. You know what I mean?
No, I think it's great. Look, I love the idea. And of course, we've already sold out the first offering and the first trial offering, but we're gonna open it up to the public in February. But it's been what I like about it is, you know, I've been doing this for 36 years, and I used to be in the pits yelling and screaming. I went to an office, and then I went on my own. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being on your own, but sometimes you need somebody to talk to. Sometimes you just need to get somebody else's opinion. Sometimes you just need to clear your head, and it's hard to do that when you're sitting in a room by yourself with an iPhone. And I think that's the big benefit. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I can remember, you know, for the first time ever, I've been backing in and out of this market, backing off a little bit, and a lot of people are texting me. A lot of people are chatting me on Facebook or reaching out on Twitter. But it's a difficult platform to compete in these markets when you're getting these huge move overnights in Asia. You know, before I go to bed, I'm getting messages that Asia's already down 7% and they've only been open for 15 minutes. So, you know, it's good to have other people around where I can, you know, talk with them, get to them a little bit quicker, a little bit faster. I think that's the way these markets are moving. And so to not have those types of resources, to kind of be alone and think you're going to fight this market, I think that's a kind of a battle you should prepare to lose if you plan on doing it alone. So this will give people the opportunity to hopefully meet other guys similar to them and meet other guys who are hopefully better than them, because I think the only way I've ever learned or gotten better is trying to surround myself with, you know, people who are on that same mindset. So hopefully we can make some good introductions and help each other elevate each other's profits, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's great because what you get to do is, you know, you get to watch and see other people trade live in the room. You get to talk to, you know, different professionals. I mean, we're going to have, you know, all markets covered. And, you know, a lot of people like to, you know, as you're unwinding, maybe you're having a scotch at night or whatever, you know, and you want to kind of know what's going on in the market, you can come to the room and get a feel, because we'll be kind of updating the overseas action and recapping the day before. But, you know, the futures trade all the time, so there's always something to trade. So I think it's great because I think for the average guy, it gets a little bit lonely out there. And it's great to have a group.
Absolutely.
And you start to make, you know, friends. You kind of do things together, and you kind of, like I said, you kind of get a great feel, and you get a better feel for the market because you can kind of tell even by the way that your acquaintances that you're meeting that turn into friends in the room are kind of leaning, and that kind of gives you some clues as well. What do you think about that?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of the time, you know, these markets are more correlated now than they've ever been. So, you know, some guys are just watching RBOB, some guys are watching heating oil, some guys are watching crude. They're all kind of watching the same chart as you kind of taught me. And so I think it's important to get all these guys in the same place. And I think together, you know, one guy's keeping an eye on this part of energy, one guy's keeping a part on that eye energy. And I think as everyone kind of does their part and adds their bit, we'll see how that connects to copper and the loony and some of these other, you know, some of these other products, you know. And I think that as other guys came into the room as a soybean trader or a crude trader, or maybe they only traded stocks, I think they're going to hear and learn from other guys, And then before they know it, they'll be dabbling and learning other markets, other trades. And I just don't know how that can be a bad thing to get a little more educated on the markets.
No, I think, listen, I could agree more. Listen, you know, well, you're part of it. What is the Bubba show, Bubba Trading? Our mantra is you need to educate. We need to educate people because at the end of the day, you want to make sure the people that you know and you're associated with have a reason to be successful and can look at markets and have a better understanding. Because haven't you learned over the years, what is the number one thing you've learned over the years, Brett, that makes you understand markets better? What are the things you look at?
I mean, the things that I personally look at is just that, you know, the markets are, you know, it's like they're never changing, but they obviously are, in the sense that you have to constantly be learning. You have to constantly be willing to adapt and roll and move with what the markets are doing. And I think that at the times I was most stubborn, at the times I was unwilling to thinking I knew everything, those were always my worst times. But in the moments that I feel humbled and I kind of realize what I do and I don't know, that's really helped me kind of been able to navigate through markets. So whereas, you know, maybe 9 years ago when I started trading, or, you know, 10 years ago when I was 16, at that time, I might have went head on against the market every day this week, you know, every day since January. That being said, I've gotten exposed to a lot of different products. I've gotten exposed to a lot of different people. And through that, it's helped me become a better trader. And so I hope that, you know, if you're alone in Mississippi, or you're alone sitting in your dorm room in Ohio, or you're alone sitting in your office in Chicago, it's bad to be alone. I never knew the trading to exist with silence. And for me, getting to be involved at the trading floor, even working at a firm, even if we were trading at night, it wasn't like I was just sitting there physically alone. You know, we always had contacts or group chat or people that we could converse with. And the markets are going to do things that are going to surprise you time and time again. And it's going to be difficult to sit there alone and, whether it works or doesn't, you know, navigate your way through it.
No, I agree. Again, I think the biggest key is education, because, you know, as I've been doing a series on air, Brett, of, you know, that trading is actually a learned skill, and that right. anybody can trade. I mean, is you
absolutely.
Know, I mean, you were doing it when you were still in high school. We now teach at high school, but you were a pretty efficient trader in high school. And my theory right. is that anybody can be taught to trade. I mean, some may be better than others, but just because you're not as good as the next guy doesn't mean that you cannot make money or cannot protect your portfolio. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, I think that's what, you know, I was so excited about wanting to be a trader my whole life, is I see a lot of other jobs, a lot of other professions where you have to, you know, you get in on the bottom of the totem pole, and you kind of got to work your way up 3 years to this part, 5 years to that, 10 years you're at this level. Hopefully by 20th year, you're a partner and you can actually start making some money or something. It was never like that in trading. You know, I got hired at a really young age to work at a trading firm, and I was working above, you know, guys that were 40 or 50 years old. It had nothing to do with age. It really had to do with the time that you were going to put into it. And that's what's so great about learning a skill like this. And so, you know, I've been doing it for 10 years, but I'm looking forward to doing it for another 10, 20, 30 years. I can't imagine how much the markets are going to change. But the one thing I can't imagine doing is doing that alone. I just don't know how I would be able to have a good balance of work and life if all it entails is me sitting behind my computer staring at my brokerage accounts. So I'm looking for something a little bit more than that. And they're closing pits left and right. And, you know, there's no benefits to going down to be on the floor anymore, whereas now we're going to hopefully bring that virtual floor to the people. You can stay in your room, you can sit in your boxes, you could be at the coffee shop, but you don't have to be alone anymore. Put your headphones in, and there's going to be, you know, a couple moderators in the room trading their accounts, talking about different portfolios. And you'll be surprised about the engagement
right,
ability.
Brett, you'll have to come back and talk about it again. Brett Rosenthal, new member of the Bubba Show team. We're happy to have him. This is the Bubba Show. Have a great day, everybody. Make sure you miss an episode. LibertyTalk.fm. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Top of all. See you later, everybody. Good night. Summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a
piece of something that you think. Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.